You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. He is back. He took a nice spa day. He's nice and refreshed. Harrison, do you feel better about yourself today?
Yeah, you know, Anthony, after taking definitely a spa day and not going and covering the Lakers game and getting home at, like, after midnight and, like, working until, like, you know, 2 a.m. and then having to wake up at 7 this morning, definitely didn't do that. Went to the spa. Feeling super refreshed, not cranky at all. Definitely just really in the mood to deal with you again.
That's good. That's good to know. That's yeah. You know, I just get a little, my spidey sense goes off when somebody keeps repeating where they are, right? It's like that kid who's like, I swear I'm sick. I promise it's never
that I sent out videos and photos from the game.
Your internet dad was there. He might have just sent you stuff.
That's true. He was trying to help me play hooky.
Yeah, right. As my actual dad used to do, if I messed up, if I didn't do a project, I'd say I was sick.
Well, it's, you know, there's one of us that actually has done that, Ben.
Today's show is going to be the Isaiah Thomas show. We've kind of alluded to it. We've mentioned it. The scheduling was kind of off since his season officially ended by way of surgery on that ailing hip. So we are going to talk about what we saw from him this season. I think using what we saw from him in Cleveland is also important context here. So we might mention that a little bit. What might be in the works for him moving forward in the future? What might his best fit be, whether it's with the Lakers or away from the Lakers? All that good stuff. Harrison says it's a little scary when Harrison smiles and says he has a stat that he thinks is a good one, and he looked pretty proud of himself. He just gave another little grin right there. So Harrison's going to bring the fire in a second.
Yeah, but before I bring the fire, you should probably tell people where they can find the show and why we're qualified to talk about this.
Wow, I was just about to do that. You spend one day at the spa and you come back and think you can tell me how to do my job.
I'm the boss.
Who makes more? you can find this show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. You can follow Harrison on Twitter at I make less than that Anthony. You can follow me on Twitter at I make more than Harrison.
That podcast, to be clear.
All right, let's go ahead and I want to start with the Cleveland stuff because I don't think that should get necessarily overlooked. He was an unmitigated disaster in Cleveland.
Now, real quick, before we get into the Cleveland thing, I did want to say, like, going back to Woj's report yesterday that Isaiah Thomas was going to be out for the rest of the year and that the Lakers might have interest in bringing him back. And then he had this, like, the part that stuck out to me was he had this anonymously sourced tidbit about Luke Walton liking how Isaiah Thomas was in the locker room, liking what he had done for the young players. And, like, I don't doubt that that's true, number one, because it's Woj and he's never wrong. And number two, like, I don't doubt that he had anonymous sources tell him that. But what's funny to me about that is, like, it's one of the few times I've ever seen anonymous sources used for something that Luke Walton has said on the record, like, probably five times since Isaiah Thomas has been on the team. And so that part kind of stuck out to me and was kind of amusing, I guess, in a journalistic sense, that, like, now anonymous sources are, like, more reputable than a coach actually just saying this, mm-hmm. like, on the record. But yeah, like, I think the Cleveland stuff to me is important on some level because it is a sample size of games that he's played since injury. All of that data matters when you're trying to figure out how much money to give this guy, how much longer he has to go to recover. And so, like, how much you're willing to gamble on him having upside on instead, like, over what you've seen so far this season since the surgery and like continuing to improve. Mm-hmm. And then so like all of that is data that should be used and looked at. I do think that it should be valued less than his Lakers tenure for a couple reasons. Number one, he was closer to that injury, and so he just hadn't had as many games back yet. It was a worse basketball situation for him, and it just should, like, period, it should matter less to the Lakers what a guy did on another team than what they've seen him do on their team. Because the second sample size is going to be more meaningful just in terms of, like, health. They know how they want to use him, so they can put him out there in those situations and see how he does in those versus having to kind of extrapolate from how another team used him and what he looked like in a different basketball context. So I think the Cleveland stuff is important, but I'd place less importance on it overall when we're evaluating his season than the Lakers stuff, at least in terms of should the Lakers re-sign this guy or what should Lakers fans' view on this guy be.
I mostly agree with what you're saying. But I think there's an important aspect to this, especially as next year Thomas looks to – will probably be working with a one-year contract next year is my guess.
He seems like the type of guy that's going to gamble on himself.
Right. And so with that as context, I'm going to give my reasons as to why I slightly disagree with what you just said there. So Thomas is going to bet on himself, and – I've said this before on my podcast and on other podcasts, is that Thomas's greatest strength at this point is his belief in himself, his chip on his shoulder. You don't overcome his height. You don't overcome being drafted. I think he was drafted 60th overall, right? You go from being drafted 60th overall to a first team All-NBA bid. That kind of thing doesn't happen with overwhelming confidence and an F you attitude with anybody who doubts you.
Yeah, and so like that's a great strategy on the court, not always when you're trying to get a guy to fit into his role.
Right, and the reason why I would say the Cleveland stuff is important to me isn't necessarily what we saw from him. He is about the worst pairing you can have in terms of point guard with LeBron James. Really, like Jose Calderon is nowhere near as good a player as Isaiah Thomas is. But he's a much better fit. He's bigger. He can, in theory, defend better than Isaiah Thomas does. He's more used to working off of the ball. Isaiah Thomas needs to have a crazy usage rate. It was never going to work.
I think offensively, there could be worse fits. I think defensively is really where it's a terrible fit. Because if you're going to be a point guard with LeBron, you have to be able to give something on defense. And, like, Lakers fans are familiar with the work of Jose Calderon. The man is, like, a well-done turkey on defense. He is still better than Isaiah Thomas on that end. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, because like he at least is larger and like can like theoretically get in the way.
Yeah. Like I felt bad for Thomas on several occasions this year would be in position with his hand up and still graze the nipple of whoever he was guarding, right? It was not pretty. Titty
that was
twisters.
The weirdest way you could have described defense. Like, please never use that phrase ever again on this podcast. I apologize. If you had your children listening in the car, first of all, be a better parent. Second of all, I'm sorry. I'm
Nipple
sorry.
Isn't
on behalf
a bad word,
of Locked
guys.
On Lakers, I'm sorry.
But the reason I was going to say that, again, long-winded as I tend to be, but the reason I think the Cleveland stuff is important, given that Isaiah Thomas will probably gamble on himself this year, is that he doesn't seem the type to handle no very well, right? Like, no, you are not going to get 36% usage rate anywhere you go from now on if that team that you happen to be playing on wants to be a decent team. Like,
and we've already seen, like, before he had even established this level of status, I remember when he was a Kings free agent, and he was, like, crying out in the media about, like, how he felt disrespected that nobody had signed him yet, and, like, I believe he called out the Lakers specifically, or, like, at least said that he would have wanted to play there, but they went a different direction.
Right, the Lakers went with Nick Young instead of Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, okay. That was, well, regardless of what you think of Isaiah Thomas now, doing that then, that's an oops.
Whoops. But yeah, I mean, that to me, though, so you have, I tweeted out, I had a little quick kind of tweet thread, and I was talking about all the pieces that the Lakers currently have. I think the Lakers have a core that is capable of being a playoff contender with just league average veterans next year. Not even stars, not even all-stars. Like, just give them league average veterans next year.
And re-sign Randall, I'm guessing, in this vision.
Right. I'm saying between Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, and Julius Randle, you have the foundation of a core that can contend for the playoffs. I think Thomas is more capable of more harm than good on a one-year deal where he's trying to prove himself, because now you're getting into somebody's money, and we've seen, you mentioned Sacramento, he butted heads with Boogie Cousins there. In Phoenix, he butted heads behind the scenes in Phoenix, per multiple reports. Boston, you didn't hear about stuff, but that was
I don't even think that was reports. I think in Phoenix, he just came out and said it in the media, and then after he was traded.
Right.
Like,
Boston went well, and it was the optimal situation for him. And you see what happens when he...
And he was a good soldier, and then they shanked him, and so he learned his lesson.
Yeah. And then in Cleveland, he... butted heads with Kevin Love. It didn't go very well, seemingly, with him and LeBron James. And he comes over here again. And even when things are going well, he's talking about how if the Lakers would just use me the way I was used in Boston, that you would unlock what you saw in Boston last year. And that to
did
me
you
is
take
a
that like
wor-
that? See,
that
I
was a little worrisome. I don't think
I didn't. I think I didn't really take that like that. I took that as like, you know, it's him advocating for what type of player he thinks he can be. But I never felt like, at least with the Lakers over his tenure here, and I think there are reasons for this that I'll get into in a second, but I never felt like he really tried, like he was going overboard in terms of exceeding the role that the team was asking him to do, because he was going out there and trying to get his and get paid. That didn't, I never really noticed.
I don't think that's the case at all.
I think that's I'm not saying that you were saying he did that, but I think that is, you know, like this is something that I've started to kind of do a little bit of an about face on. And I think it is, you know, like kind of hat tip Darius Soriano as well. I do think that this is it's a different thing to do that for 20 games than it is to do that for 82 games, especially when it's 82 games after coming off your second major surgery. And you really are trying to go get paid because this is your last chance to go get yours. And so I would worry a little bit about that if I was someone who, you know, was trying to figure out the best way to improve the Lakers for next season.
Yeah, like the way I would put it is the further.
But, you know, I'm just a blog boy and I'm just trying to like guess at players' feelings. And what do I know?
The further he gets into betting on himself, the more desperate he's going to get. And I think
it's like if you keep doubling down at a casino.
Right. The more desperate you get, the more true to yourself you become in actions and
we
words.
Call this a Wednesday night in Vegas with Anthony.
Summer League gets dark, man. Summer League gets dark. But
at one point, I just was shocked, but at one point you threw me on the table and bet me. I'm really glad you won that hand.
I got two Harrisons. I don't know where the other one went, though, which is a little... We got to find your twin. But that's the thing with Thomas that kind of concerns me from a look, we'll talk about him in a player and we'll get to that here in a second. But from a standpoint of the way he fits in with a young core that by itself is capable of being a playoff contender with the right pieces around it. If you put the wrong pieces around it, though, it's also, I think, capable because they're young. They're also capable of going down and playing backseat. And I thought that's what we kind of saw late in games with Thomas, was that it became...
You mean they'll just like defer to him by default?
Yeah, and that's kind of what we saw late in games, because they are young, because he is Isaiah Thomas. He has that personality. I mean, it takes some stones to get up in Julius Randle's face. Now, Randle was sitting down at the time, and they were eye to eye, but still.
And like Thomas got on top of a ladder and it was a whole thing, but like.
But it took some stones to break out the ladder. And so, you know, we're going to get to you. We're going to let you unleash your stat. We're going to do that here in a second. And we'll get to more of the basketball standpoint. And then some of the contract stuff, what kind of contract, if he is an option for the Lakers, what kind of deal we would look for there. And we'll do that here in a second. All right, give me your stat.
So you're going to love this one, uh-huh. But You want to guess what the Lakers you want to guess what player the Lakers are never better than when he sits?
Well, it's Ennis.
No, it's actually Thomas.
Oh,
the Lakers
no.
have a 1.3 net as far as like so guys off court net ratings. What how the mm-hmm. team does when they're
when they
off
aren't
the
playing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they aren't playing, Isaiah Thomas has the worst off court net rating on the Lakers. The Lakers are outscoring their opponents by 1.3 points per 100 possessions when Thomas is off the court. The best is actually Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. They're -3.4. Thomas's on-court net rating is still in the positives, but it's a 0.2.
Yeah, I look.
Both are better than the Lakers' season-long net rating, to be fair, to mm-hmm. Thomas. So they've played okay with him on the court, but they're never better than when he's off the court, at least among guys like in a large sample size.
Yeah, I just think you have to tweak too much to make it work with Isaiah Thomas. Than what the Lakers are best at. Like the Lakers are at their best in transition. They are at their best when Lonzo has the ball in his hands and can make quick decisions. They're at their best, in my opinion, when they're doing pick and rolls with Julius Randle as the roller, and he has time to then create either for himself at the rim or for a shooter, usually to the side that he's dribbling to. But aside from that last scenario, Thomas doesn't really fit into those things. Like when they're in transition. More often than not, when he was in transition, he was pulling those weird pull-up threes that were sometimes contested. Like, I never really understood that. When
it was Mamba mentality, Anthony.
Oh, man. Oof, man. Every time anybody makes, like, anytime Kuzma does anything related to Kobe, I get added like 15
no,
times.
No, stop. Just stop this. Don't go down this road. Don't double down. Just you lost. Just back down.
Every single time. It's incredible. Man. Anywho. I just don't see Thomas fitting in with this core. I think KCP fits in with this core better as just the shooting guard, a typical shooting guard who plays alongside Lonzo and can spread the floor. I think Brook Lopez, obviously, they're completely different human beings. Like Lopez is three Thomases stacked up on themselves, and I think Lopez fits better from a basketball standpoint because he allows Randle to play the four and is still a rim protector and spaces the floor well enough that Randle can do his thing in pick and roll. Thomas, though, like he's a ball stopper. He takes ill-advised shots. He's not good defensively, and he will never be good. He will never even be, I would say, bad defensively. I think he'll always be abysmal defensively. And like, I just don't see it being worth it for them to bring him back. This is going to sound crazy. Even at league minimum, I would say just stay away. I don't think I want Isaiah Thomas on the Lakers under any circumstance next year.
Okay, so yeah, I was actually going to ask you that. Well, like how you know there are no circumstances at which you'd want him back, like not even for the minimum.
No, because again,
because of all the locker room stuff and the stick to your role stuff and mm-hmm. the you know that kind of thing
and the basketball fit. Like I just don't see a scenario. I take that back. I don't want him back on a minimum because I don't want him gambling on himself on the Lakers' time. But if the Lakers gave him like a deal for 2 years, $7 million a year, both those years, then okay. At least that first year, he'll buy into the team concept because he's not trying to prove himself over the course of that contract. Now, I don't think he would take that deal because
I'm going to have Jared or Uresley aggregate this. Anthony Irwin demands the Lakers sign Isaiah Thomas to multi-year deal.
Oh, my God. But I think I would rather have him on a two-year deal than a one-year minimum deal because I think under those circumstances, he's more likely to buy into the team concept than into the I need to get mine. I thought I was going to have a Brinks truck at my house, and now it's like a mini U-Haul that you drag behind a motorcycle.
It was like a beat up Ford with like a bag of cash in the back.
Yeah, it was a scene from Blue.
Driven by Jim Buss.
what kind of situation? So I would imagine I'm more extreme as per usual than you are on this. But what kind of situation would you take Isaiah Thomas back with the Lakers?
No, actually, Anthony, I'm going to say something that your wife probably said to you like 10 years ago, and you've worn me down. I have come around to the idea that re-signing Isaiah Thomas would probably be a bad idea. Unlike you, when I have a bad take, I'm willing to walk it back. I think Like, just from doing some more research, from talking to some people who I respect, from thinking about it a little bit more myself, just from watching how the team has played without him, I'm just like, and just remembering how they were playing before they got him, I think some of the early on numbers, like with Randle and things like that, they're more of a function of just having somebody who could shoot and like create something, mm-hmm. and that guy doesn't have to be Isaiah Thomas. And there are too many negatives to re-signing him, like to that outweigh any positives that you'd be getting. And also not having him, you know, maybe that forces Lonzo to be a little bit more aggressive on like and like take on some of these things and some of these things that Thomas was doing and learn some of these skills. Mm-hmm. And then like if you're just looking for a guy that can go in and like a backup point guard that can just go in and jack shots, like those guys are a dime a dozen in the D League mm-hmm. or G League. And so I, you know, you've worn me down. Quote, welcome. Dr. Jen.
Well, somebody needs to start a Locked On Lakers out of context account, and that needs to be the first. Like, just like Jen told you 10 years ago or whatever, you wore me down. She would agree.
What's funny is you think he's being self-effacing, but he's not. She would actually admit that.
Yeah, no, she would 100%. I saw her die a little last night when I told her I was thinking about doing Locked On Dodgers, and she was just like, oh, God, more of you on the airwaves. That's what we need.
Yeah, I no, let's de-escalate this situation.
All right. So I do want to, though, say, look, this podcast is going to come out. And look, I mean, it is a lot of Harrison and me kind of slamming Isaiah Thomas. I think his story is tremendous. I think he, as a human being, is somebody that a lot of people can, no pun intended, look up to. And I think that wherever he winds up, I think he's going to work his ass off, and it wouldn't shock me at all that he comes back and he proves blog boys like us wrong and has a good enough season next year that somebody – now, Brink's truck, those days are gone. The max contract stuff, that those days are long gone. But if he was to sign after next year a three-year, say, $30 million deal, not per year, but total, that wouldn't shock me at all because just for out of sheer – perseverance as it worked out with me and Jen.
Yeah, we should have led with this, but obviously like this is with all due respect to Isaiah
Thomas.
We have
our anonymous sign. We have our anonymous source on the line right now. Your mic is doing that thing. So go
ahead. Is it? Okay. Yeah, well, so, I'll just continue because I think
anonymous source, works. What do you think of this?
All due respect to Isaiah Thomas and the perseverance that he has shown throughout his NBA career. And like he seems like a good dude, and he's someone that like, hey, if he goes and proves us wrong on another team, like good for him. But I just don't think that based on what we've seen that him re-signing with the Lakers is the team's best option.
I would agree, anonymous source who seems to have a lot of the same cadences that Harrison does. It's kind of weird.
I am not that coach who I sometimes am today.
We found Harrison's twin from earlier on in the show.
Callback reference.
All right,
I just have a deeper, sexier voice.
Yeah, I got Blackjack. So like in doubling down and putting Harrison on, I got like the better version of him. I was a little concerned that like I was never going to find
Sasha Vujacic.
All right, that'll. I was going to make a Maria Sharapova joke, but I will not. So that'll do it, though. All the luck in the world to Isaiah Thomas. I thought this quote. I don't know if Tanya Ganguly did this on purpose, but her tweet regarding Thomas being done for the year. Here's how it reads. Are you ready? I thought this was. I laughed out loud at this. You ready? No.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I'm ready. Sorry, I wasn't sure if you actually wanted me to talk. I thought that was rhetorical.
All right, Isaiah Thomas is done for the year, but he made a very positive impression on the Lakers. He was great, Luke Walton said. When asked if the Lakers would have interest in Thomas this offseason, I mean, what a tough player he is. Never complained, end quote. like no yes or no. Like when asked if the Lakers should bring him back next offseason, Hey, what a nice day it is outside. Like, look.
Hey, to be fair to Luke, he probably is a little bit worried about getting dinged for another tampering fine. Like, the Lakers don't want to talk about any free agents, not even their own. You guys re-sign Isaiah Thomas? You're police. Get out. I'm not falling for it again, Adam Silver and a fake mustache.
Oh, man, I would pay to see that picture. All right, that'll do it, though, for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. As I said in the last couple episodes, two episodes ago, I asked for requests for our 400th episode. It turned out I was right. This is episode number 396. We are four episodes away from the 400th episode of Locked On Lakers.
Our final show of next week will be – no, our second to last show of next week will be our 400th episode.
Crazy. It's insane. Yeah. But – give us your ideas. I don't think Harrison is going to shave his head because I don't think he is comfortable with the idea that maybe his hair wouldn't come back.
No, the lady friend nixed that one. I told her, I was like, hey, you know, like some of my listeners were joking that I should shave my head. And she's like, no.
You know what I just realized?
This is a hard no.
If you were to shave your head and your beard and kept a mustache, you would be Adam Silver with a mustache.
Yeah.
you would look a lot like him. So we could have, you got to do it now. Now we got it. We would have fake Adam Silver on the show.
Not happening.
That'll do it though for this episode. Give us those ideas in a 5-star review. If you see negative reviews on there, vote those down. That's kind of important for the show. And all that does is it enables us to continue giving you guys shows every single day. We have what, 8 games left of this NBA season. Let's finish strong here.
My fragile ego can't take it. Like, if I see any negative reviews, I might quit.
It's a good thing you're not me then, because I tend to get a lot of
negative. Yeah, that's what I'm
saying.
You can't say that, because people will start leaving only negative reviews. Yeah, like, I think some people actually like me.
That fuels me. You can bleep that if you want, but that's
fine.
Have a great weekend, everybody.